We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith here with the star of the show, Greg Pickle. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions. And as always, tailgatewine.com. They're sponsoring this segment of the show. We are giving away a bottle of wine to the person who Greg feels asked the best question. And the three bottles that we're looking at, Sapphire Blue, blueberry wine made from pure blueberry juice, Old Main Pinot Grigio, 1855 Vidal. Am I saying that right?
Vidal. I think so. Vidal. I'm not much of a wine drinker, yeah, but I can pronounce Coors Light pretty well.
There you go.
Yeah.
Classy.
Yes.
Classy, Greg.
Absolutely.
So, Greg, we're going to run through your questions. Greg will pick out whoever asked the best question, and they'll get a bottle of Tailgate Wine. Tailgatewine.com to check out their selection. Blue and white themed for the Penn State fan in your life. Let's get started here, Greg. Joseph from Scranton wants to know, it said in your mailbag, you said Journey Brown had a decent chance of returning kicks, but who on the field has been returning kicks?
Well, so, I mean, no one right now because, you know, when Trace McSorley and Koa Farmer talked last week about what the team's doing at this point in time, it's mostly just 7-on-7 offense versus defense work. Now, the specialists will get together, they'll kick, they'll punt, but I'm not really sure there's a whole lot of returning going on there. I mean, I'm watching for KJ Hamler, I'm watching for Matt Kippenhammer, Journey Brown, of course. I mean, I think Penn State will have the best combination of ability to catch the ball, ability to be responsible for clearing people out when the ball's not able to be caught, and actual return talent in quite some time. I mean, Saquon Barkley was tremendous as a kick returner, but, you know, I think that, and you're not going to replace him, but I think they have people on the roster that can do it. But really, punting's a big one. I mean, we've seen Penn State on more than one occasion almost give the ball away and or absolutely give the ball away on punts, and they just haven't really been able to figure it out in the James Franklin era. I think this is the year they finally do.
This is an interesting question because I think people are discussing it now. Do you think James Franklin, this is from Mike from York, do you think James Franklin has set his sights a little too high this year? Seems like they tried to recruit like they're Alabama and Ohio State and are now missing on a lot of their top recruits. I keep seeing reports of new offers going out to lower rated prospects that they normally would have targeted already. Your thoughts on that one?
I can pronounce Labatt Blue as well, just to make that clear. That's an interesting question. I mean, because there's a lot of people that get worried about the idea that top targets are going and that that other schools are getting commitments, and I just don't necessarily see it that way. I see most of Penn State's top targets are pretty much still on the board. Keep in mind they have 11 verbal commitments. They're only going to take what, you know, I think we're in agreement 18 to 20 is probably the number, 21 at the absolute most. So, I mean, if you can focus on the last 9 guys of the class and you might lose a couple of them then send some offers out, that's just the way it works. That's the way it's going to go. Penn State has sent a clear signal that it wants 2 quarterbacks, hence the enormous pursuit of Michael Johnson Jr. Penn State has clearly signaled it wants another running back, hence the offer to Aaron Young, because it clearly doesn't feel great about where it stands with Noah Kane. So, you know, it put another offer out there. I mean, at times you have guys on your list that you say, okay, if A or B does not commit to us, this is a guy we think is an A or B talent, but he's not quite on the same level as those guys, so we're going to wait to offer him until we don't think that we're going to get A or B. So I don't necessarily see it as a cause for concern or a big negative. I know a lot of people probably do, but I think it's just the way the recruiting cycle tends to go, and there's a lot of other teams doing this because Penn State's taking their guys.
Number one, I refuse to look at Penn State's 19 class with a glass half empty approach because it's not. We discussed this last week a little bit. Average player rating, average star rating, it's right on par with 2018. You don't win all your recruiting battles. The other part of this is with the offers, Penn State, from what people have been telling us a lot of times on this show, they don't send out a lot. They don't send out uncommittable offers.
Right.
So the term offer can have some gray area in terms of what that actually means. Steve from Boynton Beach, Florida, says new listener to the show, but he loves it. He's listening is now part of his weekly routine. What took you so long, Steve? That's my question. Anyway, thanks for joining us. As great as the past 2 years of football have been, something has bothered me and continues to do so going into this season is Penn State's inability to close out opponents. i.e. USC, Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, Washington. They go up big. Everything is clicking. Then they seem to slow down. In your expert opinion, he didn't put air quotes on that, but I will. Is this an O-line, D-line issue, a play-calling issue? And do you see this changing this year with improved O-line depth and a new play caller in Ricky Ronnie?
Well, I think it's a couple of things.
A lot of layers here.
There are a lot of layers here. Let's focus on Ohio State and Michigan State, for example. That was a breakdown of the line play. I mean, Penn State couldn't block in the fourth quarter, and it couldn't get a pass rush. What was JT Barrett, 16 for 16? And I mean, I hate the cliche phrase of, you know, the snowball rolling downhill, but that's what it was at Ohio Stadium. Yeah. I mean, Ohio State got a little bit of momentum, and then a little bit more momentum, and then all of a sudden, Dustin, everything just went badly for Penn State, and Ohio State just couldn't be stopped. So I do feel like at times there was maybe a disconnect between Joe Moorhead and James Franklin when it comes to how they wanted to approach the end of games, the four-minute offense, and things like that. I don't think it has anything to do with not going under center, not having a fullback. I just think that if you're going to be aggressive and you're going to go at people for four quarters, you can't stop that in the last 4 minutes of the game when you have a lead. And I think that ultimately that's what sort of has been Penn State's undoing, is that they don't seem to know what identity they want in the fourth quarter. And I think, quite honestly, that's because James and Joe, while they worked very, very well together, I don't necessarily think that they saw eye to eye on that. I think it'll be different with Ricky Ronnie. Now, it's not going to say it'll work any better than it did before, but I think you have your head coach and your offensive coordinator on the same page. It certainly is not a bad thing. And I'm not making it out to be that there was this great internal divide between Joe Moorhead and James Franklin, but pretty clear that Moorhead had a way he wanted to do things. Franklin is the head coach with the power and with the ability to call timeouts and things like that. Obviously, probably overruled him from time to time, so we'll just have to wait and see. But I do think it'll be better this year. And there were some times too when it was simply execution. I mean, again, when you give up 16 for 16 in the fourth quarter of a quasi Big Ten championship game play-in game, I mean, at some point your guys just got to make a play. Penn State didn't, but I don't think they were helped at all by the sidelines either.
I think that's fair criticism to say that, and it's the really the difficulty, right, of calling plays is that now you're sitting on a lead and you want to manage risks versus reward without changing your offense's identity too much. I think it's fair to wonder if they've skewed a little bit too conservative in some of those situations and allowed some of that to happen.
I don't even think it's a wonder. I think it's absolutely been the case. There's no question about it, especially in some of these games mentioned.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. We're taking your Penn State football questions. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but you, if you download the Keystone Sports app, there is a button for that says Ask Greg. You ask a question there. The best question by Greg standards will get a bottle of wine, so make sure you jump on there. We're going to try to get to as many questions as we can every week. We don't get to all of them, so just kind of hang in there as we make our way through. Dominic from Cranberry Township. I don't understand why there's such a divergence in ratings for players between the different recruiting outlets. For instance, Rivals has Julian Fleming, the Southern Columbia 2020 receiver, is the number 5 wide receiver, number 26 player in the country. 247 has him number 1 and number 12 overall. Does Rivals punish you for not going to their camps? Could you give me some insight as to how players are rated at the different recruiting services? What formulas do they use, or what statistics or player attributes are most important at one but not the other?
That's another long question. Well, I do think there's certainly something to be said about if you go to a certain this camp or that camp, you know, you probably are going to get in front of more analysts from one service or another. I think there's a couple things, too. It's where analysts live. So 247 Sports has a very mid-Atlantic presence. It has a large East Coast presence between Brian Doan, between Steve Wiltfong, two guys that have been on this show. Steve handles the Midwest along with Alan True. Rivals has Adam Friedman on the East Coast, but I think that might be about it. So I think, especially the mid-Atlantic. So I think it depends sometimes how many analysts you have in certain parts of the country. That plays into it. You know, when it comes to Fleming in particular, he's from a small school, and I don't think he's done a lot of the camps. So while anyone that sees him is just blown away by what he's able to do, I think there's some people out there that just haven't seen him play. So how can you move him up in the rankings if you're not sure about, you know, what you see with your own two eyes? So a lot of it comes down to, you know, getting guys out into these camp environments where all these analysts are. That certainly helps. But at the same time, I do think they probably ding you a bit if you don't show up to their camps. And the flip side of that is that's the only way they have to rank you, unless they're just using film or traveling a lot all over the country to see high school games, which they do. I don't think they're going to end up in Southern Columbia too much, though.
It's not punishing you for not attending their camps, but we saw with 24/7 they did a rankings update after the opening because they were all over that event in Dallas, and Brandon Smith picked up a fifth star because they saw him more than ever with their own eyes.
Right.
It's the same reason that Penn State doesn't really offer a kid until they see him with their own eyes. Film is great. You get an essence of the player, and I think if you don't have a really deep understanding of a player, it's hard to make him the number one wide receiver in the country.
Yeah.
So I think it's just different evaluations as part of it too. Different eyes are seeing different things with the same players. Let's see. Tim from, what is this, McCandless? Says, Greg, I asked this question once before. Bobby Flo answered it, but I'd love to hear your answer. What's your favorite away venue to see a Penn State game?
Huh, that's an interesting one. Well, I haven't been to Wisconsin yet, and I hear that's the best of the best, so I'm going to have to wait a bit for that. Bloomington, I would not mind if I never went back there. Northwestern's a little bit interesting. They've really done a nice job out there, and they've really made that into one of the top facilities in the country. So I think Northwestern is up there. Purdue, I mean, they have a really neat inflatable train, but other than that, there's not much to write home about at Boilermaker Land. Ohio State, I like the way you get into the venue. There's a lot of cool things around the venue. You know, I think it's better than Michigan, which I thought was just a big pile of metal, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think the place I found most interesting, though, was Iowa. Kinnick Stadium. It's loud. It's weird. There's a lot of people that are, you know, right on top of the field. It's steep. I mean, it is. When people say it's a tough place to play, it absolutely is. I mean, everything just sort of falls down on top of you there. So it's a good question, and it might be the leader in the clubhouse. I'm going to go with Kinnick Stadium, Iowa.
Okay, well, let's get one more in here. Lindsay from Wexford says, the great Greg Pickle, given your interest for gambling, would you be able to pick the winning quadfecta, or I guess what is that, superfecta, for total offensive yards, excluding Trace McSorley? So take McSorley out, the top four finishers in total yards.
That is interesting. Miles Sanders, Juwan Johnson, Tommy Stevens. Then the fourth one.
Oh, okay.
The fourth one, I think that you have to decide whether DeAndre Tompkins is going to slide into the Deshaun Hamilton role, or if you think that that Justin Shorter is going to come out and just be a stud. I think both are possible. I think it's more likely that Tompkins becomes the next Deshaun Hamilton. So I'm going to go with Hamilton. I'm sorry, not Hamilton. Tompkins, Sanders, Stevens, and Juwan Johnson.
Okay. And what's the best question of the week?
Well, there were a lot of good ones this week. I certainly could say that. I think the one that stood out to me most, I'm going to go with that last one there, the superfecta of total yards. That's a really good question.
Good. What Lindsay has opened a way into Greg's heart. Just call him out for his degenerate
and also
gambling.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Lindsay from Wexford, the winner of a tailgate wine this week. And that's it for all this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for tuning in. Always be sure to join us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and download the Keystone Sports app to ask your own Greg Pickle question. See you next time.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.